In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer, meditation, and suffering make a theologian. They are also marks of a devout Christian. Last week we looked at prayer. If we are to live a godly life and believe that God is our true God who has redeemed us, we must need the Holy Spirit. He alone creates and sustains faith. He alone guides us in godliness. And so we pray that the Lord would fill us with his Spirit to that effect. Today we look at meditation. Prayer must be accompanied by constant meditation. The reason is quite simple. God will not give you his Holy Spirit apart from the Word. For without this Holy Spirit, man continues to grope around in darkness, destined to fall into a pit. The Word is the breathing space of the Holy Spirit. For the same God who inspired those scriptures with his life-giving Spirit also inspires and energizes you with that same Spirit. The Word does not simply bring him to you, but it is where the Spirit lives and moves and works. No Word, no Spirit, ever. The Word is a means of grace. So it cannot simply go in one ear and out the other, for then the Spirit would go in one ear and out the other. Neither must we be content to know only the basics, but let us press onward toward full maturity so we may be able to approve what is good and to shun what is evil. This calls for constant meditation on the Word. Now, world religions have given a bad idea to what meditation is. They have influenced our understanding. So the world religions think that meditation is an individual sitting quietly in a room with his eyes closed, alone with his thoughts, ignoring all distractions, clearing his head, turned inward toward silent reflection, just thinking about himself and his place in the universe. That is not Christian meditation. We will not turn ourselves inward, for we know what darkness lies deep within our hearts. Just waiting to ask, did God really say? How easy it is to think our way out of the truth of God's word. How easy it is to forsake Christ. How easy to rationalize our sin. Christian meditation will never be an internal exercise, but it's always an external exercise. We are not left alone with our thoughts, but the word of God must enter into our thoughts through our ears and really be absorbed into our entire body. And so Christian meditation begins outside of us with that external embodied word. In other words, the incarnation must define our understanding of meditation. Christ himself is the Word made flesh. He is the Word of God who came for us and our salvation. And so the Word comes to us in flesh and blood even today. It is the embodied Word, spoken from human lips, written with human hands, heard by human ears. Like the light of the sun, the Word is out there, preached by a pastor, written in a book, and enacted in the divine service. We will not shrink back into our own thoughts, but we remain anchored in that external Word. And so Mary was meditating on the Word of God as she sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to the Word of God. It is also interesting to note that each of the Hebrew words for meditation involves some kind of vocalization. Christian meditation is not a silent act, but in fact it's quite noisy. It's not lost in our own thoughts or in our own mind, reflecting on what God has done, but it's a noisy discourse about the Word of God. That is why Christ commands his church to sing, to preach, to read, and to speak his Word, so that he might convey his Spirit to his people. Now, there are two dangers we must avoid. The first is we cannot use these scriptures as a springboard into whatever thoughts or ideas we might have, bending and twisting the truth to make it fit into our idea, make it say what we want it to say. People who do this like to ask the question, what does this mean to me? But frankly, who cares what it means to you? What does the Word of God actually say? What it means to you is the same thing that it should mean to everyone else. Such springboards are a denial of the clarity of God's Word. The Word is clear. There we live, there we move, there we meditate, there we remain in the Word. The other danger is to wait for the Lord to speak to your heart. Here we find a blending of the world's idea of meditation with Christianity. Such people wait for a special revelation from God, some kind of feeling of right and wrong, some sense of what is true, or what the text is trying to say, and then they attribute that to God. So these enthusiasts like to be left alone with their thoughts. And so they deny the sufficiency of the Word of God. We would reject both. The Word is sufficient. It is the only way that the Spirit comes to us. The Word is also clear. It means what it says and says what it means. And that Word is external. Yes, it is a matter of the heart, but the way to the heart is through the ears. So in meditation, we hear inwardly what God is speaking to us externally. And so the Word can't go in one ear and out the other. It must be retained. Now, what must be retained? The Word, the written, spoken, external, embodied Word. Dr. Luther, when talking about meditation, likened it to a cow chewing its cud. He mulls it over again and again. He compares it to other doctrines. He contrasts it with other sections of Scripture. And he lets its light reveal the world to him. He concentrates on that Word physically, mentally, emotionally, so that it reaches his heart, the very core of his being. He receives what God has to say to him, whether he likes it or not, whether it makes sense to him or not, because he believes this is the Word of God. And that Word changes him. It crafts and it molds the heart. King Josiah meditated on that Word as Hilkiah the high priest read to him the Word, or Shaphan the secretary read to him the Word of God. It brought him to his knees in repentance. He tore his clothes, for Israel had not kept the Word of God. Judgment and destruction was coming. And that Word led him back to the Word of Huldah the prophetess. Or we find Mary sitting at the feet of Christ, soaking in all that the Lord has to say to her. It will not be taken away from her, for the Word created an eagerness to hear more of the Word. And so the Word of God drives us back to the Word of God. We are not locked up in our own little closets of our mind trying to figure out what this has to say. But we ingest the Word, we hear it, and we hear it again. As both Josiah and Mary were with others as they were meditating on the Word of God, so we do well to meditate with one another. Meditation is noisy, remember. So let us discuss it around the table, at home and on the road, morning and evening, always desiring more insight, more understanding as to what God is saying. Our thoughts won't dominate the conversation, but the Word will. We won't ask the question, what does this mean to me? But we simply ask, what does this mean? He speaks, we listen, and we speak to one another. As iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen one another. Meditation then becomes a joyful conversation among the people of God about the wonderful works that God has done for us. But God determines its direction by his Word. And all this happens so that God might give his Holy Spirit and his people might be built up. And yes, in between our gatherings with one another, we individually meditate on the Word. We memorize it and speak it and go over it again and again that it might shape our lives, our thoughts, our prayers. Maybe it's the same passage we have known since our youth. Maybe it's new ones. Maybe it's found in a book that is published. Maybe it's a reading of the Scriptures. But we do all of this because we know we cannot live without that Holy Spirit, and he comes to us only through the Word. We can't see things rightly. We can't think about ourselves or this world rightly. He must guide our thoughts. He must inform us of this world. And he does. He comes to us in the Word. He speaks to us in that Word because he loves us. He speaks to us because he knows that Satan will stop at nothing to try to divorce us from Christ and to wrestle that Word out of our hearts. But more on that next week. So for now, we content ourselves to know that God gives his Spirit to us through his Word, so that we might meditate on that Word day and night. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.